At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Bringing in the coach, Dana Holgorsen, joining us here on ESPN 97.5. I don't know if you know this, but you made some news this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I also said I wasn't talking about it anymore, so what do you guys want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about North Texas. This has been a game that you've been looking at for a long time because of, you know, first of all, you're friends with Seth. You like Seth. You've known him for a long time. And secondly, this quarterback has been around for like 30 years and been a pretty damn good player, too.
He really has. He really has. And, you know, Seth's been there. He's going on his fourth year now. It's another one of these air raid reunions, you know. So, you know, me and Seth spent about 4 years there at Texas Tech. Was really a good player at Oklahoma. Team captain, real tough guy. So, you know, he brings a real physical nature to the air raid passing game, you know, which I respect a lot because we've tried to do the same thing, obviously. But he's done a good job there going into his fourth year, won 9 games, 2 of the last 3 years, and he's got a quarterback that slings it around. So has done a really good job of replacing Graham Harrell, who is there with him for 3 years, and doing good things out at USC as the offensive coordinator, you know. But looks to me like they haven't missed a beat. They're scoring a bunch of points and playing really well.
Now, tell us, because I mean, this is we're about to get, you know, Clayton tuned, and you and I have talked about it. I've asked you plenty. You know, how is Tune? Tell me about him. What have you seen of him in practice? And you've always said, man, the kid's a good player. Tell us about what we're going to see with Clayton Tune.
This is going to be really good for him and his development. You know, the whole thing, and I'm not avoiding the question. We can talk about whatever y'all want, but the whole thing is about making sure that we understand the most important part of waking up as a student athlete is to make sure you develop the right way, and you do everything you can towards being successful when it comes to being a student athlete. And that's twofold now. I mean, it's doing a good job in the classroom and leaving here with a degree. There's a lot of kids that need to be redshirted to be able to get your degree. It's becoming less and less necessary because there's early enrollees, and with the summertime activities the way that they are from a accountability perspective, guys go to class, you know. So a lot of times they don't need that fifth year to get their degree, but a lot of times they do, you know. And so there's a lot of guys that need to understand the long term. For long term success, you need to be an old 22, 23 year old when you're playing your last snaps of college football in order to be successful, not only as a team but as a because of your development as well. So Tune is ready to go. You know, he got 5 games in last year. It wasn't under the best of circumstances, and you know, here we sit right here at 1-3 going into the fifth game. They're different circumstances because we still got an awful lot of football ahead of us, and he needs to take advantage of this situation when it comes to being able to go in there and play ball.
Yeah, I got a little heated this week. I mean, with some of the stuff, there's been so much speculation and so many people that are outside and making assumptions about the program. And one of the things that pissed me off is that, you know, anything to do with throwing in the towel or tanking, I think that's an insult to Tune. And I think it's an insult to you. And I think it's an insult to all the other players on the team that, you know, that anyone would think that you don't care about winning this year.
Well, I care an awful lot about winning this Saturday night. And, you know, this coaching staff and this team cares an awful lot about winning this Saturday night. If, you know, the last 3 nights we've been on the practice field, maybe 3 of our better practices that we've had all year. So, you know, a lot of guys are motivated. You know, this news doesn't affect our defense a whole lot, and those guys need to continue to develop and play ball and get better. And, you know, there's a lot of aspects of our offense right now that you know, we're not gonna just bag the offense and come up with another offense. I mean, the things that we've been working on, the things that Clayton Tune's been working on, the things that Derek King continues to work on are all things that we've done the last three nights. We've had good practices, and I got no reason to believe that we're not going to go be as competitive as we've been for the last four games. The four games that we've been in have been competitive football games, and somebody's got to win those games, and somebody's got to lose those games, and we're not happy about the fact that we lost them. It could have turned, and we could have won them. We didn't. That's the way things go, and we got to learn from that, and I think we have, and I think we're going to go put our best foot forward on Saturday night.
Dana, do you you know, I think some of the confusion or some of the questions nationally have arisen from the comments by De'Aaron King's father, and then De'Aaron King came out and said, no, I'm going to be with Houston. I'm staying with you. I mean, he made a very strong statement that was issued saying he wants to be a Houston Cougar moving forward. Do you think some of that, some of the confusion about what's really going on with De'Aaron and his plans at University of Houston, do you think that's what has created some confusion for some people? Because it is kind of an unprecedented thing to see a heralded starting quarterback all of a sudden decide. I mean, this is kind of the first time we're seeing this particular type of redshirting.
Yeah, it's new, and I understand that. And you know, I was a part of a lot of the discussions when it came to the intent of the rule. I think the rule is good for the student athlete. You know, and you know, I've been a part of this conversation a bunch in the media, and I think the media is a big part of why there's a lot of speculation out there as far as what's the truth and what's not the truth. Obviously, there always is, and there always will be, and I respect that. But I just think it's because it's new when it comes to the rule, and as college coaches, we can utilize this rule any way we want to. There's no guidelines on how you use the rule, and I've said it for a long time. It's good for the student athlete. I may be the first four games and then decide to redshirt him because of whatever reason that is. It could be the last four games, which I did with about a dozen players last year. I resisted the temptation of playing them game six, game seven, game eight, and played them game nine through game 12, you know, or game 10 through 13. You know, that we did that. We played them potentially one or two games early and then two games late. One of the reasons why this rule is in place is my running back story 3 years ago. The kid was a red-shirted freshman, and we had one running back going to Iowa State. We needed him to play. He did. The other two running backs came back week 12, and he hardly played week 12 and week 13. But week 11, he rushed for 195 yards, and we beat Iowa State. So he would have been able to save that year. Now he's sitting here as a, you know, as a true senior at West Virginia, having a decent year, but should have 2 years to play. So I think it's really good for the student athlete. And any way you can use it, utilize it for the betterment and the development of the student athlete, then I'm all for it. And that's what this situation is about.
Yeah. Okay, can talk about building a program too, because you said it. I mean, you've been talking about this since you got here. Is what the heck? How come nobody? This is a young football team. Even though we got seniors, they're still young seniors. Ideally, building a program going forward, Dana, you would love to have as many redshirted guys as possible.
We got about 30 of them right now. You know, which is good for the future, okay? But nobody wants to hear about that. Everybody wants to hear about what we're going to do to beat North Texas, and I get that, and I understand that, and that's what the walls up and down the walls and the conversations that happen, you know, inside this football facility right now, is not about who's redshirting or who's not redshirting. It's about what we're going to do in practice this afternoon and the game planning and the film study that involves on beating North Texas. I can assure you that we got 20 coaches up in here that are studying hard, that are working hard towards what practice is going to look like here this afternoon and what the game plan is going to look like on Saturday night. With that said, there's got to be the behind the scenes work go on that builds the roster the way that you need to be able to build the roster. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. There's certain things that happen and certain decisions that happen. You know, I've red-lighted guys, I've green-lighted guys each and every week, and it's a weekly discussion. Did we need that guy to play? Then he played. Then how many games does he have left? Do we let him dress out? Do we not let him dress out? Is he an emergency player? Is he not an emergency player? Does he even travel? Or do we just go ahead and shut him down for the year? I mean, those discussions that happen over over the course of a week, and they're behind the scenes, and there's not a whole lot of people that are privy to those. But that's what we're going to continue to do, because I'm going to be here for a long time, and we're going to build it the right way.
All right. I've asked you this question before, and you said that's simple. I said, okay, what about a guy that doesn't have great hands? How do you get him to catch the football? And catch 1,000 balls a day, and then he's going to get better at it. How, with today's rules, do you get better at tackling?
Well, you can tackle once a week. And we don't tackle as a team. We tackle on Saturdays. Throughout camp, you can tackle every other day. You can't tackle every day. You can tackle every other day, up to, I believe, it's 4 days a week throughout camp. And camp only lasts, 2 weeks? So that's not a lot of days. And then in spring, you get 15 days in spring, which you can tackle. I believe it's 8. I believe it's 8 of the 15 you can actually tackle. So when you have those days that you have circled that you can tackle, you need to do a lot of situational football. And we've tallied up, as high as probably 1,000 snaps in spring that we've been able to tackle. So this spring we'll probably line up and tackle about 1,000 times. And you got to teach it the right way. I think our defensive coaches do a really good job of teaching it without truly pulling the trigger. But there's technique that you can do that you can work on. And then you play live football. And there's no better way of seeing if guys have the ability to be able to get people on the ground than playing live football. I guess two things. Tonight we have Thursday night football at, I believe it's 5:00. I believe at 5:00 we're done with our, today's a walkthrough for us. Tomorrow's a fast Friday for us. Today is a walkthrough for us. But then after that walkthrough, we line up all the people that aren't going to play on Saturday and we play tackle football. And we'll get about 40 reps in, and that's good development for our young guys that are redshirting that are going to be able to play live football. And then Saturday night, we get a lineup and we play about 75 snaps on offense and 75 snaps on defense and about 30 snaps on special teams where there's going to be live situations. And the more ball you play and the more snaps you log, the better you're going to be as a football player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so far, I mean, you would admit tackling has been an issue, hasn't it?
It has, and I think we've improved on it. Obviously everybody wants to remember that last snap of the game at Tulane, which keeps me up at night, but from game one, we missed an awful lot of tackles, and I think probably the talent that Oklahoma has had something to do with that. But then the next week against Washington State, Prairie View, we tackled better. We had a couple of drives where we didn't tackle very good, and they scored on us. And that was like a first-team guy, and one drive was on the backups that we had there at the end. The next week against Washington State, I thought we tackled really well. I mean, and there's a lot of tackles in space based on what Leach does, just spread everybody out and put the ball in play, and you got tackle in space. And I think we did a decent job of that. The next week, I thought it was decent in spurts. And, there's an element of how much gas is in your tank and your ability to be able to tackle. And I think our gas tanks were low and we didn't tackle as well as we should.
Yeah, that stretch is done, which is nice. You were worried about it all off that 19, four games in 19 days. And that's not easy on those kids. That is something that maybe the league.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I don't think it's ever happened. And I don't want to keep beating a dead horse over this. The one that I was really worried about, and you know this very well, I had the Tulane game kind of circled, as in that's the one that really kind of scares more than anything. And Tulane had that game circled too, and that was a big one. I think we played really well. I mean, we started fast. We scored early, and I just think we just really honestly just ran out of gas and. That's not fair for these kids. I mean, they put in so much work and they put in so much, effort, and we practiced hard and we did everything the right way. And at the end of it, we didn't have enough left, and that's unfortunate. But we're not throwing the towel in. We had a good weekend off, and it was amazing. We turned, we GPS all this stuff, as you well know, our GPS numbers, which there's about 100 guys on the team, right? I mean, everybody wants to circle one guy, but there's about 100 on the team, and the GPS numbers on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday were better than they've been all year. you know, just based on having a couple of days truly off that we can kind of recover.
Nice. Well, Dana Holgorsen is here, and he's brought to you HRNP by Damaris Barbecue and Chastang Ford. Let's talk about Chastang Ford. I got in my expedition. I got the same one that you did, Dana. And my car buying experience at Chastang was unbelievable. Patrick and Joe do a great job. UH fans, Dana, they got a if they're going to get a Ford, they should get it from UH people.
They're wonderful people now, you know, and they're huge University of Houston supporters, but more importantly, they're Houstonians, and they're here to make your experience really well.
Yep, and go there, and it is. It's an experience. Now, these are the Ford truck experts, so if you have commercial vehicles, fleets that you need to get, they're going to take care of you, and they know exactly what truck for whatever job. They've seen everything, so they know what to do. But they're also in the retail business for all of us. I've got my expedition there. They got 0% financing going on right now. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, you're going to get your best price. It's all just 5 minutes from downtown on 610, just two exits from 59 Homestead, not Hempstead, Homestead. It's Chastang Ford.
You're listening to the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRNP. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right, another segment with the coach, Dana Holgorsen, right here on ESPN 97.5, 7 o'clock at North Texas. And it's gonna be nothing going to be easy about that. This is another one that you had circled. But I happen to know that you got to watch a little football on Saturday, Coach, after, you know, you had Thursday off, so you got to watch a little bit, watching some of the SMU, you think SMU is a pretty good football team right now?
Yeah, I do. I got my first glimpse of them, you know, watched them briefly on Saturday, which, I mean, winning at TCU, I know from experience, is not easy. I mean, Gary obviously does a really good job, and SMU went in there and won by, 14? And then we've been studying them all week. North Texas's game 2 was against SMU, and, you know, I studied their offense, and they're doing a heck of a job on offense. Shane Buechele is spinning that thing now, and, you know, they got that. I think they brought in, like, 32 transfers over the last 2 years. Sonny's been there going into his second year and has really transferred that thing up, and they got some players now. And then their defensive coaches are, like, you know, SMU's flying around on defense and playing well. So they beat North Texas, I think it was 38-14 or 38-17, something like that. They're 4-0 and they're playing well.
Yeah. Not only them. I mean, the whole UCF. They lost to Pitt. I mean, that's a top 25 program. Memphis, Tulsa. It's the conference is looking good. Looking really good.
Yeah, our schedule doesn't slow down anytime soon. I mean, the thing about it is I'm it's here. It's a Thursday, and it's, you know, a couple days before we play, and I'm like, what do we do here the rest of the day? I'm already caught up, ready for practice, because we're used to doing things a day short, and here we had about 9 days to prepare for this one, and then next week we have a bye week, you know. So kind of wish that bye week came after those first four games, but we're gonna go play Saturday night, and then we have a bye week, and then we got Cincinnati coming to town, which will be mid-October. And will be our first true home game, you know, that conference home game. And then we got SMU coming after that. It's got a lot of really good teams on the schedule moving forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris, HR&P, and Chastang Ford. So, you know, you said it doesn't change much, but Toon isn't as athletic as D'Eriq. There aren't many guys in the country that are as athletic as D'Eriq is. How does that change things up for you?
You know, it doesn't change much, honestly. We were doing a lot of good things in the run game. You know, D'Eriq is a part of that, but Toon's he's a 6'2", 205 guy. But is a 4-5 guy, you know, so he doesn't have the explosion that D'Eriq has, which, like you said, not many people do. He doesn't have the flat-out, straight-ahead speed, make-you-miss, start-and-stop ability that Derek has. Derek has that as much as anybody I've had since Tavon Austin, you know, which is saying something. But Derek's got, as you all know, that kind of twitch. Tune is more of a straight-ahead guy, but still has really good athletic ability and still has the ability to be able to move forward. So he's still a threat in the run game now. And, you know, as a bigger guy, you know, so we'll be able to do a little bit more pocket-type stuff, but we can also do a lot of things with his feet. So we got to be careful. You know, obviously there's always the element of you got to keep him out of harm's way, which we've been coaching him the same way, and I expect him to follow the directions when it comes to getting on the ground and protecting yourself as well.
You knew that, and it's especially important with Derek's decision, but you knew it was going to, there was going to be work to be done to switch, to implement your offense, which is a lot different than what Kendall Briles had run at U of H previously. After four games, where do you think that stands in terms of the growth of this team in acclimating to what you want to do versus where they had been over the last few years?
It's just constant work ethic towards implementing what you want to do. If you look back at all the numbers that we've had, and this is one thing that I told Derek, and my job as the head coach is just to tell him what reality is and tell him what the truth is and tell him what things are based on previous experiences. If you look back at the numbers, you know, going back from, you know, Case Keenum, you know, when I was here year one compared to year two, you know, look at what those numbers are and how they changed year two. Going, you know, and Brandon Whedon, they kept the same offense when I left, right? So year one, what we had, which was pretty good, going into year two, the numbers improved. You know, Geno Smith going year one, we won that Orange Bowl and was 10-3, and the next year we're in the Big 12 and we're only, you know, I think we're 8-5 at that year or something like that. But the numbers were just astronomically different offensively, you know. And same thing happened to Clint Trickett. The same thing happened to Skylar Howard. The same thing happened to Will Greer. The numbers in year two are astronomically different. And that's one thing, you know, in fairness to him, he's given so much. Derek's given so much to the University of Houston. He's been here for 4 years, and he's went through four off seasons. He's been under four offensive coordinators, four new systems, three head coaches. There's been zero stability here, and that's frustrating for young men. That's frustrating for football players. It's frustrating for Case Keenum because he's learned his eighth system in 8 years. You know, it's just. And the idea that Derek is able to be able to just kind of have stability and be able to learn things to where things actually make a little bit more sense, and he's not having to think as much when he's under center, or whether he's been shotgun, obviously, is something that was pretty appealing to him. And everybody that's coming back within the program, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, year two is always a little bit easier. You know, so, and we're not thinking about year two right now. We're thinking about North Texas. I'm just telling you what the rationale is behind it the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're always going to be better when you're more familiar with it, obviously. So how are you health-wise? How's Porter?
He should be good to go. You know, those running backs take a beating, and that, which is why you got to have about five of them, you know, and which we do. Had a great first half. And his back kind of locked up. You know, Kyle's got a whole bunch of muscles, and so those muscles tend to lock up at times. There's nothing long term with him whatsoever. So he's been in a green jersey. We're trying to keep the contact off of him, but he should be good to go. You know, overall health. You know, we've had a couple of guys get nicked up and dinged up. You know, but typically I think we're going to be good, and I think he should be good to go.
Yeah. My back locks up a lot, too, probably from all the muscles.
You have no muscles.
probably all the muscles.
It's all that core work.
Yeah.
You have no muscles. Now, our guy, Alonzo Highsmith, has muscles. He's in my office. He's scouting for the Browns. He's got a lot of muscles. You do not.
Well,
he has Coors Light muscles.
Yeah. You're damn right I do. You're damn. Do I have a Coors Light spot here? No. Damn it. Perfect spot. Yeah. No.
He's got a literal six-pack.
Back locks up all the time. All the time. And now I got the explanation. I didn't know why, but now I know. Dana Holgorsen with us each week right here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, go get him Saturday night. We appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
Right. We'll see you, Coach.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.